There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
There was a crisis this morning for us who are chronically online. You get their news from Twitter or X, whatever you like to call it. Thanks to something called Cloudflare, we didn't have access to Twitter. It was Blue Sky's time to shine. The problem for Blue Sky is, I, who even have an account on Blue Sky, didn't remember that until the crisis was over. So, unfortunately, brand recognition for Blue Sky ain't where it needs to be, because I purposely made an account just in case. Because remember, there was a time where we thought Elon was going to let Twitter fall by the wayside because of things. And we were making plans. All the big newsbreakers have their accounts. There's, hey, guys, go over there. So I fell for it and created an account just in case. And we had a moment, except it's Blue Sky. And no one really thinks of it as a good alternative unless you're just over there because you don't want to deal with some of the non-sports stuff that happens on Twitter. Didn't think of it until it was too late. I could have missed something that Adam Schefter tweeted or Ian Rappaport tweeted, but turns out there wasn't any real news, so it didn't matter anyway.
That's the dream, is that there is some sort of like giant trade or giant, you know,
and they transaction. Break it over there.
Yeah, and the newsbreakers have to go to like, you know, whatever. Threads
was another alternative. I didn't think of that
either.
Wasn't
there one where Woj tweeted something? It was like pretty big news that he broke, and then like 30 minutes later, he like, oh yeah, and then logged onto Threads and tweet, but it was like way later.
Yeah,
and he was like, yep, sorry, forgot.
Yeah, it's just much like Xerox when it comes to copy. Not everything is called Xerox when you're doing the copy stuff, but Twitter is what it is. It got the brand name recognition, and that's where we go. We didn't have that opportunity, and it's also like Kleenex when we talk about tissues, but we didn't have anything break, so we were okay. Hopefully, I mean, I think our app is still being affected, but everything else should be fine, and thankfully that's the case, because who knows what might happen between now and noon. What we do know we didn't need Twitter for was that CJ Stroud is unlikely to play, and you might as well just rule him out. He did not step foot in the practice field. It would have been just a walkthrough because of the short span between the Sunday game and Thursday night football against the Bills. They're not going to do much this week other than maybe do a little install today. But yesterday was a walkthrough. He wasn't available. He wasn't out on the field. Jalen Petrie was there in a limited capacity as he still is working his way through concussion protocol. So maybe Petrie. Very unlikely CJ Stroud, so that'll be his third game missed due to the concussion he suffered earlier this season. And we talked about it this morning. That's now, if it holds true, that he misses the game. Five games in two seasons where he will miss time due to a head injury. He has been fortunate in some ways where it wasn't the thing where people are down on one knee and we're very fearful because he does the fencing posture and he's being stretchered off the field. That has happened, certainly. But it's still something to think about when you have a young quarterback and you're wondering, what is he going to be? If I just throw aside how much money he may be due to make, because that plays a part with the Texans and their finances, just as a player, Is he someone who doesn't allow the recent missed time because of a head injury to affect him? We know sometimes CJ will get, if you want to call it happy feet, he'll get a little jittery, whatever. The feet will not be in a great spot, and sometimes it'll affect his accuracy. He has to be someone who is deadly accurate. While we talked about it yesterday, that maybe if he's in the game, there may be a scramble or two more that he makes as opposed to Davis Mills. Overall, he's going to have to kill from the pocket to be a great quarterback in this league. And if pocket awareness or pocket presence starts to suffer because of hits taken. Now, of course, the one he took was outside the pocket. He was scrambling to try to pick up a first down and slid late, and the back of his head hit the turf. So it wasn't him getting banged up in a pocket, but these things all start to build up. Of course, the young quarterback that the Texans drafted first wasn't a concussion guy, but the accumulation of hits that David Carr, some brought upon himself, and others because of the offensive line, changed some of the chemistry and how he played football. Just guys get tired of getting hit. So I, of course, CJ, we hope is doing well, because DeMeco will yell at us if we don't care about the health and how the quarterback feels. We learned that lesson.
Yeah.
But if I push that aside and get more into the the fan aspect of it and the person covering the team aspect of it, how does the quarterback come back when he's ready to go? This is going to be at a minimum 3 games. We just assume now, well, we've done this the last couple weeks. We knew he wasn't going to play against the Jags.
Yeah, that one was like the NFL free space.
It was like almost mandated. Yeah, that you're just not going to play.
We're not getting sued, so they're not playing.
Yeah, we're not having you get concussed 2 times in a span of 7 days.
Yeah.
You're not playing. And then the thought was, well, he walked off the field under his own power. He had the picture with his mom after the game saying he feels better. Okay, he's going to play against the Titans. Don't worry. And then you got to that Wednesday of last week, and he wasn't available. And then you heard from reporters that he's still experiencing symptoms. So
the early rule out, too, on that one was like, ooh. And then, Thursday game next.
Yeah,
like,
now you kind of assume that he's not going to play. The expectation will now shift. Of course, he'll be
10 back. Extra days? Mini bye?
Yeah, he's got the mini bye. Of course he'll be back. We don't know. And when you talk about the face of concussions in the NFL, it is the quarterback in Miami. And beyond all the picks he's thrown this year and even some of the injuries that have piled up over his career beyond concussions, people are analyzing his play, the guys who cover him on a daily basis, and have noticed a different way he handles being in the pocket. Part of it is he wants to prove that he can stay out there for 17 games. There was a question because he missed time last year with the hip injury. And there's also a guy who's when his feet aren't settled, he doesn't take the time to get them settled, because throughout most of his career, he's had a faulty offensive line that have led to hits and have led to his absences. So you have an example of a guy who has to win from the pocket himself, has to be deadly accurate, who the accumulation of injuries and concussions have maybe changed the way he's had to play or wants to play in a dramatic way. You hope that doesn't lead to C.J. Stroud becoming less than what he can be, but he's a human being. And if you're missing time because you get hit and you don't want to get hit anymore, how does that affect who you are as a quarterback?
Yeah, and it's something where it's like it's natural that it like affects how you play. Like, it'd be hard for it not to affect how you play football after that. And yeah, you just hope that there's not like one of these like serious, super scary ones that like alter this guy's career, you know? Like, because that when we're doing like 2 concussions in 3 years, and then it's like, well, if it happens another time pretty fast where it's like missed games level concussion, like now it's getting into like all not quite, because the Tua stuff is like in its own thing because it was visually so jarring,
scary, yeah.
But like you're getting into like that level of wow, this is like really something that's happening a lot to his brain.
Yeah. And then you start to ask yourself, if we're being like very non-concerned about his health. If we're talking about what the Texans are doing, then we're talking about, are we willing to invest the numbers put at 60? But we don't know what the number would be. Let's just draw a line at 60. The $60 million a year investment in a quarterback who, through at least three seasons, has proven to miss time. And
miss time with, like, an injury that, if you get it the wrong way, can just, like, boom. It's done.
Yeah. And then when you start to talk about the concussions, there will be more and more time missed.
Yeah.
Because you think to be safe. Because even if he could come back in a week or 2 weeks, are we really going to take the chance? So there are a lot of things that go into it when your quarterback misses time because of head injuries. You just hope that this is an occurrence that doesn't pop up again, because you don't want, for multiple reasons, his health, his well-being, and then when you talk about in a somewhat selfish way of the team and your rooting interest, you don't want your quarterback to be known as a concussion guy, because then it becomes almost a weekly thing where you're worried about a hit he takes, and maybe it's something he becomes worried about as well. So hopefully, whenever he's back, he feels good, and he also feels good about playing football. Because those things get scary, man. You just watch how careers get shortened. We see guys retire early. I'm not even throwing that on CJ, but you just see how concussions change people in their approach to football when they're like, you know what, this ain't worth it. He's a young guy. I think he's just 24 years old, so he may be not at that point where any of that is in his mind. It just sometimes pops up with guys, and you wonder, this guy's retiring at 28. What for? Well, he's tired of getting hit. Because football's painful and violent, and sometimes enough is enough. So, CJ Stroud unlikely to play on Thursday in a really big game. Aside from the discussions about CJ, the game is a game they need. They're chasing the Bills. The Bills are only they won their game, so they're two games up. But they're chasing the final playoff spot. The Bills are within range, and of course, if you beat them, you bring them even closer to you. So if it's Davis Mills, it's another must win, which they all are, I guess, when you start the way they did. So
just keep it close until the fourth quarter.
And let Mills take over?
Yeah. It's a
Thrills Mills
15-minute game.
Yeah.
Just get him to the fourth. All the other guys are going to be freaking out because it's such a tight game. Not my guy. Well, not number 10.
It was 29-10 in the fourth quarter against the Jags. So they did get that to the fourth quarter, but not exactly in the way I think you're saying.
Let's get a little bit closer.
A little bit closer
than 19 points.
You don't think you're capable of dropping like 20 straight points in the Bills when they're up by 19?
It was a little too dramatic, you know?
It's true. Yeah. And the Texans wound up winning by 7. How dramatic could it really be?
Yeah. Honestly, blowout in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was boring.
In NFL,
all they did was score.
Didn't they cover? When it came down to it, what were we worried about? Thank you, Sheldon Rankins, for people who bet on the Texans. All right, we'll go to break. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. We do have tickets to give away to the Cougs versus TCU. Willie Fritz joined us this morning. If you want to see his team in action on Saturday, keep listening. We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets. We'll do our misery index as well. The Cougs didn't play. They're in the top 25 now, so they certainly won't be on the list. We'll do some CFP talk because those rankings will come out tonight. I think it's between the middle of two college basketball games. They've done this before.
They normally do that.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Now that college basketball is back, now we got to wait to the end of one game. They'll fit it in, and then they'll get to another game. So be on the lookout for that if you're really looking forward to see who's number 11 in the country. We will see about that and see where Alabama is and how far they fall. Do they project Oklahoma or push Oklahoma above them? What does that mean for Notre Dame? And, of course, as part of our misery index and the CFP, where does Texas fall as they, at this point, look to be on the outside looking
in? I think like 11th, 12th.
If we go by what the AP did, which we don't need to, they should be below that. We'll see how they're treated being in, you know, they lost to the big, bad, powerful SEC team in Georgia. And they kept
it's hard to win.
They kept it close for three quarters. They can lean on that. And they do have
if not for trickery, who knows what happens?
Yeah, if Kirby was a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
What do we call it? Unethical? If he wasn't so unethical.
He is an unethical hooper.
If he was a more ethical hooper, who knows how that game goes.
He is unethical.
All right, Jeff, we see you want to talk about Davis Mills. Anyone else want to talk about your starting quarterback on Thursday? You can do that. We'll welcome you. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So now that Twitter's back, I got these two texts. They were tweeted within hours of each other. I mean, at least not a few hours, but they just are lined up for me through my For You page. DJ Bieniemy says, a sign of a good coach is how they do without their starting quarterback. Texans coach DeMeco Ryans is 3-1 in games CJ Stroud has missed. Of course, the context for some people who like to dive a little deep. The game he lost was to the Joe Flacco-led Browns when Amari Cooper decided, hey, you remember T.Y. Hilton? I'm going to do it, just be bigger and better, at least for a game. And then they also beat the Titans in the previous game where Davis Mills, who Jeff wants to talk about, wasn't picked. They decided to go with Case Keenum. So that was 1-1 in 2023. Of course, you have games where C.J. didn't play because they didn't need him. That's not included, I believe, in DJ Bieniemy's record. This season, they're 2-0. It did take a miraculous comeback against the Trevor Lawrence-led Jags, who credit to them for blowing out the Chargers, and also, what, the now 1-9 Titans?
Credit to them.
Credit to them for fighting.
Great throw by Cam Ward.
It was a great throw. The Titans, as I said yesterday, have played the Texans to a standstill for 7 out of 8 quarters, which I don't know what that means, but it's real. And then I have another tweet from Landry Locker talking about who the Texans have beaten at quarterback this year. Cam Ward twice, Cooper Rush, Mac Jones, and the aforementioned Trevor Lawrence. They've lost to Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix, Sam Darnold. So
I like that Trevor. It's fitting that Trevor Lawrence is in both categories because
he's mid.
I kind of feel like he is the midpoint between all those guys.
Yes, it's very proper. And for
maybe
some,
not Bo Nix.
Yeah, maybe not. Bo Nix.
But he's a winner. Bo Nix is a winner. He just wins.
And it's just happenstance, or maybe Landry did it on purpose, that Trevor Lawrence is at the bottom
of the good one,
the beaten crowd, and at the top of the loss. So he's midpoint, even in the tweet.
Exactly.
In the tweet.
Yeah.
So
no, that works.
So context matters. Yes, DeMeco Ryans is 3-1 against when he doesn't have a starter. The game he lost was to the best quarterback he faced. And that best quarterback is Joe Flacco. Because I'm not giving Trevor Lawrence any any real love. So, yes, good on you. Your defense does well, but you're beating minnows in some cases. But, hey, you'll take it. You got a very different animal this Thursday in Josh Allen, who's kind of just a one-man offense.
Yeah.
6 touchdowns, but he can be forced into mistakes. So, you have some ball hawks, and Josh Allen, because of all the pressure put on him to make plays –
chest pass one to you.
Yeah, that's what happened against Tampa. Get an unblocked rusher, and he'll chest pass it to you to avoid a safety. So we'll see what happens there. Let's get to Jeff here. He wants to talk to us about Davis Mills. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, Dale? How you doing, guys? Hey, listen, two things real quick. I caught the end of your last thought here, I didn't check it up. I see CJ's not starting. Is he eligible to play and maybe could back up Mills and bring in some energy, even though Mills is a second half, you know, player? Is there any chance he could come in if, you know, Mills not doing well and bring some energy back into the team, or is he out? And my second thing I wanted to say with Bo Nix, and I said this before, I'm not sold on Bo Nix. I've watched some of the games under pressure. And again, it's hard to throw on the run, but he's about 1 for 10 when he's on the run under pressure. Seems like all his passes is when he's in the pocket. As a running quarterback and throwing, which is hard, I think he's one of the bottom, in my opinion. But I just want to see what you guys think.
Not been a great run for Bo Nix over the last three games. Texans, Raiders, Chiefs defenses of different qualities. We saw how bad the Raiders were last night. You know, the Chiefs play pretty good defense, and we know the Texans play elite defense. He's got three touchdowns, three picks. Passer rating isn't very impressive. The passer rating overall, if that's a number you care about, it's in the mid-80s, which is not great. But the touchdowns are at 18 picks. He's having a very average year being bolstered by a defense. You know, the Broncos aren't that much different from the Texans, except they win more close games than they lose. When we look at the Texans, their defense has played better than the Broncos. I mean, the unfortunate part for the Texans is when it mattered most against the Broncos, they matched up against each other. The Texans defense gave up a number, gave up two scoring drives in the fourth quarter. I don't want to say to lose it because their offense wasn't doing anything. But while I don't want to harp on it, that was an opportunity for your best unit to close the game out. And they didn't do it, much like Sunday. But thanks to Chills Mills.
Yeah. Bailed out the defense.
Thrills Mills bailed out the defense. We're saying it in a joking way, but
they did give up a long touchdown drive
to the Titans to tie the game.
Yeah, and then Mills said, no,
made a
big
time throw to set them up, and they won the game. So
I got your back, Danielle Hunter. Yeah. I got your back.
Look, guys,
Will Anderson.
Look, complimentary football.
It is.
The defense carried them for most of that game, and then when it mattered most, Davis Mills made the throw.
I do wonder if the difference between this year's Broncos and this year's Texans can be boiled down to the defenses are pretty similar, and the offense, one of them have their plays called by Sean Payton, the other one by Nick Caley. Is that like worth three wins right there?
I mean, and
including one head to head,
and if not for roughing the snapper,
yeah,
they'd be 10-1.
Like I feel like it's probably not that simple, but also if you like kind of start lining up the players on offense, you're like, well, I feel better about CJ than Bo Nix,
Nico
than any of the receivers,
maybe the depth of the receiver core.
Even like,
I don't know.
Kind of the running backs are kind of a wash.
Yeah, the line is better.
Yeah, their O line is actually good.
Yeah.
The Texans is like below average, but not like horrendous like it was last year. It's just like
below
bad.
Average. Yeah, and then you look at the defense. They got pass rushers. You got pass rushers.
Yeah.
Their defensive tackles are better than yours.
Yeah.
Probably. Linebackers, Dre Greenlaw, when he's not arguing with the ref or hurt.
Maybe slight edge,
yeah,
but not like...
Yeah, but secondary when Sertan is available.
Feels like a push.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of differences.
Yeah, and then it's
except
because...
Nick Caley's calling plays. And...
I feel like that's the difference, is that Sean Payton can just get you to 20 points.
Yeah.
18 points
He'll
a game.
Manufacture
yeah.
20 points, even when Bo Nix isn't going, right? And, of course, they have their own miraculous comeback, just like the Texans do.
Yeah.
A lot of things going on.
I feel it wasn't until this conversation where I was like, I kind of feel like they're the same. They're about the same team. Just one team's.
If you're asking me,
9-2
is Sean Payton three wins better than Nick Caley? Yes, at least.
Okay, that's really what I wanted to get on the record.
Yes, but to answer Jeff's question.
Oh, about
no, I don't.
The backup, yeah.
CJ, at the moment, all signs are trending to him not being available. Period.
Yeah, basically, if it's concussion protocol, like, and you're the starting quarterback, basically you either start or you don't play.
Yeah, if he could put on a uniform and be active, he would be starting. At the moment, it looks like we're going to see Davis Mills and Graham Mertz as your two quarterbacks.
It's not like a high ankle sprain thing where it's like he can give it a go.
It's like in an emergency situation. Yeah. This is something where he's either cleared or he isn't, and right now he's not cleared. And if it's miraculously in the next couple of days he is, then he will start. But doesn't look like that's happening. Thanks for the call, Jeff. If you want to follow Jeff, 713-780-3776. Yeah, this conversation has alerted me to the Texans are an established Super Bowl winning play caller away.
I would just like
from
to know.
Being 9-2, I guess.
I would just like the pushback. I'm like, no, they're different because of X, Y, Z. I guess the offensive line.
The offensive line
is like the biggest.
Sean Payton doesn't have to work around as much as Nick Caley does.
Yeah.
That's about it between the two teams. And again,
they just score an extra touchdown per game.
Yeah,
and they win.
Because
they win all the, you know, and the games that the Texans lose that are 19-16. I guess that was literally like the score last week, but you know, whatever.
Sure.
They win those games 22-16.
Yeah.
Like that, they just score the extra 4 points necessary to win all these games.
I mean, we saw it when they played each other. The Texans
lost 18-15
because the Broncos found a way.
That's what crystallized
the points in the fourth quarter.
Those the little seeds of it that I was like, these teams do not seem that different. And and the Broncos are having like their best season since they won the Super Bowl.
And the Texans are in the middle of what
Texans were like
a disappointing one that they have to salvage.
Yeah, there's several different combative press conferences every week about how negative we're being.
Yeah, DeMeco Ryans hasn't. In some ways, insulted his former one of his former quarterbacks yet, because his former quarterback's now starting for him.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, he didn't have him. He's always had CJ. He didn't have a Russell Wilson to insult.
Maybe he throws a shot at Case Keenum. I don't know.
Don't foresee that happening.
Does he play for the Bears now?
Yeah, is he active anywhere?
They don't play the Bears. He's probably not active, but I think he plays for the Bears. I think he draws a paycheck from the Bears.
He does get paid by the Bears to mentor Caleb Williams. Speaking of teams whose record should be more in line with the Texans, if not for some luck. The Bears are right in that
mix. Putting them on the microscope. They could very well be five and five themselves. Again, Ben Johnson instead of
Ben Johnson or Matt Eberflus. Actually, I think it's more Ben Johnson or Matt Eberflus. This Bears team, I mean,
I guess it is kind of the same team.
Speak to it better than me, but when I look at them, sure, Caleb Williams a year older. He's more distance away from being big broed by CJ.
Yep, yep.
But the games are close. I mean, the Bears could have been, what, 5-2? Last year before the Fail Mary?
Yes, something like that.
I think they were 4-2 going into that game, and then Tyreek Stevenson knocked the ball down or whatever he was involved in.
He was
celebrating.
Talking
to
the fans, celebrating while the ball was snapped.
Yeah.
Not just while the ball was snapped. While like the receivers were running down the field for the Hail Mary.
Yeah, he was far more interested in talking to the Commanders fans and then disaster happened. Just the way the NFL is sometimes,
yeah.
I guess.
Hey, sometimes it really is just like one score variance. It is just like
it's very true.
One year you win all your close games.
And the Texans in the first 2 years under DeMeco Ryans were very good in one score games. And this year they're not. All right, except for the last two, which has kind of helped salvage the season. All right, we'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number. Remember, we still got TCU Cougs tickets giveaway. So if you want to see the Cougs in their final home game of the season against the Horned Frogs in a game that's going to honor the seniors, we'll give you a chance to get those tickets at some point. We'll also do our misery index, sticking with college football, the Lane Kiffin stuff. While it isn't misery index worth, it's certainly something we should talk about. And we got a hire in college football, a big hire that we'll get to as well. So you're more than welcome to join us. We will be back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get into college football and our misery index. We experienced a bit of a misery index in here. Joe was talking about his experience with CFB 26. Dynasty talk. It's really narrow casting. It's for like people who aren't even listening who are part of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is literally for like 5 or 6 people.
And half of them aren't listening because they got other things to do. So we'll push that aside. So, Sean, let's get your thoughts, because Desmond Howard has thoughts on the potential for your coach to be someplace else.
Is Twitter working? We can pull it up.
Yeah, you know, I'll put it on the rundown because it was one of those walk and talks Desmond Howard has a Michigan hat on.
I think it was literally
He's taking the garbage out. Yeah. He's taking the garbage to the front of his driveway so the garbage
long
man
driveway.
Can pick it up.
Yeah, well, shout out to Desmond Howard. As you're putting in the dock, let me just say.
He's been employed for a long time.
He's doing really well. I was not blown away, but I was very impressed by his living situation in Miami.
I mean, the NFL money, I mean, he was around for a bit.
Yeah.
And if you handle the money well that he got paid even back then.
Because what? He was on like the 90s Packers, right?
Yeah. He returned to kick for a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, won a Heisman, has been on game day for
ever
20 years now.
So if I don't even know how much he made as a pro, but of course he's not making wide receiver. He didn't make wide receiver money of today, but he made plenty.
No.
And as Sean mentioned, he got a really nice house.
He does.
Not surprising. But he used this opportunity to put on his like Michigan bucket hat and take his garbage out to the front of the drive and on the curb. And he talked about the job status of one Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian was asked about the disappointment of the season. He said, according to who? Are we underachieving? According to who? Well, most people?
Yeah. You're not going to make the playoffs?
And if we asked you before the year what the goal was, wouldn't you have said national title, at least playoff appearance? So even according to you, you would say it's a disappointment.
According to the AP voters.
Yeah, I didn't say we were number one.
Did. That's what he said. He was like,
I didn't make us number one.
Take it up with the voters.
But inside the program, making the playoff was at minimum the goal, even if you won't acknowledge it. It doesn't help him to acknowledge it now.
Yeah, not losing by 25 to Georgia would have been.
Yeah, if he had put it out there before the year, he pulled his own version of Pat Narduzzi. Like, making the playoffs not important.
Okay.
That would have went over well. But sure, do whatever you got to do to make it seem like you guys haven't fallen below expectations. But now, just weeks after he had to push back against Diana Rossini, suggesting that people around him were talking about a potential interest in an NFL job, now you got Desmond Howard, one of the faces of game day. I mean, less than Saban and others, and sure, McAfee.
One of the faces.
One of the faces.
Top four face. Current.
Pete Dammel's making his
headway too. Don't give me Dammel.
Okay, sure.
Maybe who's the Jenna Sims or Ginny Sims?
And then you throw in random student who gets to kick a field goal.
Okay,
I mean, if you go that person as a representation of another face.
He's among the faces
on game day.
Stanford
there it is.
Steve. Yeah.
Another one. Among the faces on game day is Desmond Howard, and he has some thoughts on the status of Steve Sarkisian and his future with Texas.
Happy Monday morning, everybody. I'm here taking out this garbage. Had a couple of thoughts. One is, man, I miss the Twins.
I don't know who that is.
But as I'm walking past this tennis ball in my yard, I was also thinking, don't be surprised if that Texas job opens up at the end of the season. You guys were shocked when LSU opened up. Imagine how you're going to feel if that job in Austin pops open. I'm not calling or saying anyone's going to get fired. Maybe a mutual parting of ways. You dig? Anyway, you guys have a great Monday.
First, I would say no one was surprised when the LSU job opened up. No one was shocked. That's the first thing. Let's start there. If we're just breaking down his casual stroll,
that is a good point.
To the curb.
You know what? I missed that the first couple times I saw the.
No one.
I was looking at his hat, looking at his shirt.
There's a lot of things going on.
That tennis ball.
Trying to figure out who the Twins were. I don't know. Maybe
Minnesota Twins.
Is he a twin?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe he had twin boys or a boy and a girl. I don't know. Whatever he's talking about there. But no one was surprised when Brian Kelly got fired. First of all, that undercuts your thoughts, period. Now, Desmond Howard positioned himself as a non-newsbreaker. So he didn't want to take on what Diana Rossini took on. He goes, look, man, not saying, but you know, don't be shocked.
I love a don't be shocked. Don't be shocked if.
Thanks for alerting me. So now I won't be shocked if it happens. I don't know how much credence if it has any at all.
He did say hashtag just my thoughts. So these are just his thoughts.
Oh,
this is not a report.
So he decided to make a video about his thoughts. I got thoughts too, but you know what I'm not going to do? First of all, my walk would be shorter to roll my garbage from my backyard out to the front. It wouldn't take as long.
I don't know. I could walk all the way I could walk to the next house how long his driveway is.
I mean, the sound.
That was 49 seconds of him walking, and I don't think he got there.
Yeah, he wasn't there yet. I mean, the sound is similar when I'm rolling my garbage out to when he's doing it. Both got wheels, but that's the only thing that's similar. Wouldn't wear a bucket hat either. But I don't know what he said there other than
don't be surprised.
Is he hearing rumblings? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. He lives in Miami. You know, maybe he played golf with Stephen Ross.
Well, possible. Well, Stephen Ross seems dead set on keeping Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
He wants to keep him around, and he's got a real shot to be 6-7 after the bye, considering their schedule. So maybe he'll get his wish there. All right, Desmond. Appreciate it. Now, what the Texas AD had some thoughts on as well. He quote tweeted it and said, pretty much news to me. Wasn't aware that was a thing.
Well,
you wouldn't be, honestly.
Yeah.
Actually, he would. A mutual parting of the ways, he would be. he would know about, actually.
Yeah, that's the part where it's like, if I feel like if he didn't put a name or didn't put a phrase on it.
On how it was going to come about. Yeah.
If he just said, like, well, maybe not fired. It's like, oh, okay, then. I mean, it's just he leaves for another job.
Possibly.
Yeah, but at least that's not like partially on Texas that they're like, yeah, get him out of here.
Yeah, he went a step too far.
Yeah. Now, if it's some sort of like reduced buyout situation, I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. This seems like
speculative.
Yes, based off of another report from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that a
different person said.
Different person said and was firmly rebuffed by the people who say.
They don't talk to anybody, ever.
And she did say, didn't hear from Sark himself or his representatives. I guess it would have filtered through someone else.
NFL channels?
Maybe.
Perhaps, maybe. Considering Diana Rossini's an NFL reporter.
Perhaps she was.
I feel like that was an easy call. Like, I get that Jimmy Sexton and that other guy and Steve Sarkisian. And another guy have to, like, put out a statement about it. It's like, well, I think the NFL reporter, when talking about your interest in an NFL job, perhaps isn't getting it from a college coach or college coaching agent. It's probably coming from her NFL sources. Just my guess.
Yeah, maybe it's third-hand information. Who knows? But she didn't back down from it in her way. And now Desmond Howard is adding on to it. So now we got two sources.
Yeah. Hey. Well, one is don't be surprised if.
That's true. It's not a strong source. He didn't tell us that. I don't even think he said I heard it from someone.
No, he just said don't be surprised if the Texas job opens.
All right,
you guys are going to lose your mind when the Texas job opens, which at this point I'll raise my hand and say, I don't know. Texas job's been open four times the last decade. It's not. It wouldn't be the craziest
for
thing
the modern Texas fan. You've seen that job open quite a bit.
It's open a lot.
Not that shocking.
I heard Charlie Strong one time.
Yeah. It's not, Tom Herman got the bump up from the Cougs. It happens.
They are the Alabama offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That went 7-5 at Washington. Like that.
Never spent a season losing less than four games, I believe.
Yeah.
Until he got to Texas, and he spent time losing four games or more there too until very recently. So that's out there for you if you trust Desmond Howard. I want to almost give it credence so we can start a Texas big board and start guessing who they'll take.
Yeah.
Maybe Lane Kiffin holds off.
Yeah, Lane, just give us two more weeks.
Yeah, give us an A&M or loss, and then maybe Lane can take the Texas job.
The thing is, too, though, like, if Steve Sarkisian's actually going to leave, I think it would be for an NFL job.
I would agree.
And so that's like mid-January.
It takes forever.
Yeah.
And as a college coach.
And they actually like interview people for head coaching
and
opening.
As it stands right now, the only one available is the Titans job, which is why that.
Oh, and Giants.
Oh, yeah, the Giants one. Yeah. Maybe he wants to coach Jackson Dart.
That'd be great for him. I'd love that.
Did Jackson Dart spend time at Texas?
No.
He was always an Ole Miss guy?
USC.
I know he transferred, but it was not Texas.
And USC after Steve Sarkisian, because he's not 31 years
Jackson
old.
Dart, not Chris Winkie.
he's not my age, because that's how long ago Steve Sarkisian was coaching USC.
Yeah, so there it is. Desmond Howard is telling us Texas and Sarkisian on the path to.
Don't be surprised, Jeff.
Don't be shocked, I believe.
Yes, don't be shocked.
I mentioned Lane Kiffin because his family is apparently taking tours of the Southeast. Representatives, I don't know if it was a wife or who was alleged to be in Louisiana, checking out schools, just taking a tour of Baton Rouge to see how it would fit.
They have a high school age son.
Yes, and according to TigerDroppings.com, if you don't know what that is, that's the preeminent. We have a preeminent draft expert. They have a preeminent message board, and that one said that they've already found the school of choice, and kid's going to enroll. It's a done deal because, of course, it's a done deal.
It's always a done
deal. Always, everyone always has a done deal report.
It's always a done
deal. For someone who is an insider or who isn't really or is trying to make a name for himself on a message board for whatever reason.
Now, sometimes that is true. Like, there is credence to this.
Yes.
This is where it gets messy because sometimes it is actually
sometimes
a done deal.
It's an insider who actually knows.
And yes. Sometimes it actually is someone who was a server at Chipotle that talked to John Mateer. Like, sometimes that actually did.
It does
and
happen.
John Mateer later said, yeah, that actually happened.
Yeah.
I actually did tell a Chipotle employee I was playing against Texas, I think, was the story. But
it's the nature of college sports and reporting that sometimes the booster is vocal and will tell someone who happens to be on a message board, and
yeah.
that person will filter information to the message board, and all of a sudden they're an insider that's trusted, and real things happen from yeah. what they've said.
Yeah, some big boosters playing golf, getting yappy in front of the cart girl. The cart girl tells her boyfriend
her
who's dad. On tiger droppings.
Yeah, it sometimes it goes that way. A lot of times it doesn't. There's also
a lot of times it's just people making up stuff.
Yeah, that people who are close to Lane Kiffin were in Gainesville, taking a tour there too.
I like that we're now expanding on the joke that he's going to take both jobs.
Do we think a coach, and now he tweeted out about making choices for yourself earlier. So he is leaning into all this.
Yes.
Then he like hashtag 10-1, which is Ole Miss's record. Do we think a coach who is moving? I mean, look, the Lane Kiffin of it all makes you think anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
But generally, when coaches are actually going, they don't want it out there early. But because it's Lane Kiffin, you just never know.
That's what makes it amazing. Is that before? I would say before Saturday, I was like, I just gut feeling. I don't think he's leaving. Just with the like, they're gonna make the playoff. And the timing that throws into, like, then leaving a job in, like, you know, mid-December. Or, I mean, maybe they go on a run. They play on January 1st. You know, like, there's just a long time to have this going on. And then on Saturday, they asked him about, like, the great turnout for the crowd. And he goes, well, it was a great turnout this week against Florida. Wasn't that great last week? And just like, whoa, what? That was such a layup for like, yeah, I love it here.
Take the win.
Yeah. And now 2 days later, we have his son visiting every high school in America, located in either Baton Rouge or Gainesville.
Yeah.
Didn't know there were that many options in either place, but, you know, no disrespect. Just didn't know that there was like that many high schools in two college towns.
Particularly for a child of a man who makes a lot of money. Is he just going to the
prep? I don't know.
The random public school, or will he go to the one prep school in Gainesville? I don't know.
Gainesville High?
I don't know.
Well, with I forgot his kid's name. Whatever. Lane Kiffin's son?
Yeah, whoever that might be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't know Lane Kiffin's kid's name, actually.
Yeah, he needs to be a better high school player for me to learn his name.
Tiger Droppings.
Or older.
TigerDroppings.com, I'm sure they know his kid's name. I'm glad I don't. But
until he's the Texas coach, I will not know his name.
Yeah. But right now, those are the two.
And now
choices.
I think he leaves. Now I think he leaves. After
See,
all that.
I
but
almost
now,
think he doesn't leave.
Now it's so,
because,
yes.
Because
now
he's leaning into it. The reports are out. I almost think he's just going to put Ole Miss over a barrel, take all their money, and stay.
But if there's one guy
who would do all of this and then leave?
Yes.
It
would to leave a playoff team early? Because that's kind of what he would have to do is just leave before the playoffs.
Because if you don't know.
Like he's the Western Michigan coach.
Ole Miss has set an ultimatum, allegedly, that he has to make a decision before their rivalry game against Mississippi State. Now, there's a bye week, which may lead to private planes landing in Oxford and going to Gainesville. Or
if only there's a way to track
Baton Rouge. Yeah, flight tracker will be a thing in the next week and a half or so. But they say, hey, make a decision. What if he said, no, I'm not making a decision? Are they going to, like, go?
That's the thing with the ultimatum is that
you got to follow through, right? But how can you follow through when you're Ole Miss and you want the coach to stay?
Yeah.
But they're allegedly getting sick and tired of all this.
All right. He didn't make a decision. Our first ever playoff appearance will not have Lane Kiffin. It'll be head coach Pete Golding. There you go.
Head coach Pete Golding.
That could be an option after
Lane leaves too.
That's Ole Miss's hand right now. That's their hand that they're holding at this poker table is head coach Charlie Weiss Jr. or Pete Golding.
Yeah, I don't know how strong the hand is to try to bully him into making a decision.
He can just do whatever he wants.
Unless you got it in you to go bye. all right, man, we're sick of this. You've been playing this game with us for several years now.
But then now he coaches at LSU or Florida.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to go to a Big Ten school.
Yeah, it's not like he goes away and like, oh, it's Notre Dame. If we don't play him in the playoff and don't schedule him, we'll
it's
never
not an NFL job.
Yeah.
He'll just go to a place and you know how much rubbing in he'll do every time he beats you? Considering the departure.
He didn't even take the Auburn job and he gives them hell.
Yeah.
Like he turned down the Auburn job before Hugh Freeze got it, and all he did was make fun of Hugh Freeze.
The point is, for Ole Miss and for a lot of other programs, he's worth all the nonsense because they are doing consistent winning at a level. Let's be honest, they're not used to. Like, yeah,
no,
you know, Eli was fine there. They had some nice wins. I think they made a Cotton Bowl at some point with Eli, but
I think 2022 they won 10 games.
You know, sure, whatever.
2022 they won 10 games for the first time in a regular season. In program history.
Yeah, so
just like, whoa.
Your Ole Miss, there is maybe a point where you have to accept who you are. And if he wants to play games and just maybe not go, but make you feel like he's going to go, roll with it. And hopefully he stays. And we'll see what happens there. But the rumors are flying. And he's going to apparently stretch this out as far as he can.
I just thank Lane Kiffin for doing this. I just appreciate the content. You know, I don't care if he coaches Ole Miss again. I don't care if he leaves them this week. I don't know. Who cares? I'm just glad Oxford gets Sean. I don't care. I don't care that they care about that. They care about a lot of stuff I don't care about. And so
some stuff
and vice versa.
That's true. There's probably some things you care about that they have no interest in.
So, hey, listen, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be yelling at you to cut your hair as soon as you walk into the city. Hey.
Hey,
girl. Hey, look at that girl over there. I'm sure I'm really just thinking about Oxford in the 50s.
Yeah.
But avoiding that other part of Oxford in the 50s, just what they treat, how they treat you, know how they treat me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How they treat you, they tell you to cut your hair.
Yeah.
Remember the Titans.
It is Remember the Titans. Yeah. There's been a lot of movies made about.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Not all of it. You know what? I can see why Kevin wants to leave.
Yeah, I don't know how games
I've never seen a movie that takes place in Mississippi, and I'm like, this place seems dope. You know, it's not like when you watch like an L.A. movie or a Miami movie, yeah, where you're like, man, this is awesome.
I'm sure they're
Bad
out
Boys.
There. I'm sure they're out there, but the stories that are told about the state of Mississippi never is like, you know where I want to visit? I'm not saying they don't exist.
I never want to visit. No, I can't imagine you.
I'm not saying they don't exist. The stories just are never told. Mississippi burning, anyone?
Ghost of Mississippi.
Yeah, keep going. It doesn't matter.
They need to make a really fun, like, heist movie about Biloxi or something.
How come they don't put Transformers in Mississippi? You know? Why don't they do that? Yeah. Put a Transformers movie set in Mississippi.
Ocean's 14. They're robbing a riverboat in Mississippi.
Something. Mississippi gets.
And there's no problems.
I can't say they get a bad rap because I don't know anything about Mississippi. I just know if you went by it. Pop culture?
They don't get a good rap.
They don't get a good one.
They don't get a good one.
All right, we're going to break here.
Mississippi.
Hey, you got a great football team.
Shout out to you guys.
For now, at least.
Hey.
For now. They got a playoff run. We'll see how it goes. All right, we'll go to break with that. When we come back, we'll do our misery index. That doesn't involve the state of Mississippi, because other than Lane Kiffin playing with their emotions, it's a pretty good time to be an Ole Miss guy or gal. But other places didn't have a great weekend. We'll talk about those teams when we come back.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
ChumbaCasino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.